The ESPN ABC NBA theme plays us in. It is playoff time. Well, functionally. It's Saturday. Things tip off with the first round games. The second four on Sunday. Rockets, Jazz last to get started. Sunday night, 8:30. To discuss all that and more, it's been some time since we've been able to welcome Jeff Van Gundy to the program, so always look forward to it. Great time of year, obviously. Jeff, fresh off working an overtime thriller last night, the Jazz and Clippers overtime in a meaningless game, Jeff, other than, well, I guess Grayson Allen got to put a 40-point game on the board, but were you kidding me? Overtime, that game goes overtime last night?
I almost stormed the court and made somebody get a technical foul to end that game. That was painful. It really was.
It'd be like going for a 2-point conversion to tie an NFL preseason game or something.
Something to end that game. No one wanted to play.
So are you heading back here or rerouted to Oakland? What's your first game assignment? And obviously it's not until Saturday, so you're racking up even more additional frequent flyer miles?
I did come back on the red eye, but I do going back to Golden State tomorrow, Saturday game there, game one, and then Portland OKC. You know, it's so fragile. Everybody thought it was going to be OKC in Houston, which would have been a fantastic first round series. Instead, you know, Houston gets by far the toughest first round opponent that they could possibly draw. I still think they'll win, but it's a hard, hard matchup.
You think Utah that much more difficult than Oklahoma City?
I do. I think Utah, for whatever reason, is overlooked defensively with Gobert. Things at the basket are challenging. Mitchell has obvious offensive gifts and talents, and I just think they're a really good team. That's playing very well, too. So now, obviously, they have some health issues right now that they're dealing with. You know, Houston seems like they're ready to roll. So I expect them to win, but I think it would have been 4-1 against OKC, and I think it would have been similar against San Antonio.
You know, it was amazing as it played out last night. Hey, teams make their judgments, careful what you ask for sometimes. But Portland, obviously, basically trying to tank that game, play six guys, all their end-of-the-bench guys, the entire night. So, of course, Anfernee Simons goes for 37. They rally from 28 down because you can't tell the players go out and miss your shots. So, as a result, Portland draws Oklahoma City in what's a terrific first round matchup. The absence of Nurkic, is that a balance tipper in your mind?
Well, I think it definitely hurts him. You know, certainly he had a good year, and he was their third best player. They did pick up Enes Kanter off the waiver wire, so they still have two centers, he and Zach Collins, that are good. But Nurkic was better than both of them. And you know, they've had their problems with OKC this year, but a lingering question for me is Paul George healthy? Is that shoulder healthy? He set out last night. It continues to look like it's bothering him, and if it is, that could be something that tips the scales towards Portland.
Beyond Paul Millsap, it's first time through for virtually all of the Nuggets' key guys. How dicey a matchup do you think that is for Denver against San Antonio? The other crazy happening last night. It looks like the Nuggets are trying to hand the 2 seed back to the Rockets. Then they scored the last 15 points to pull it out over Minnesota,
which prevents Houston from matching up with Golden State in the conference finals, which is
a pity.
You know, really disheartening for TV. I'm not sure it's disheartening for the other teams, but it's disheartening for TV. And, well, I just think, like, Denver's not playing well right now. Offensively, they look like they're sort of stuck in mud a little bit. And, you know, I think they're vulnerable. But, you know, to read in from the regular season to the playoffs, it's dangerous because Denver's been great at home. San Antonio, I know, has all the experience. But I just do believe that Denver will figure out a way to win that series.
Talking with Jeff Van Gundy, ABC, ESPN. The Warriors, obviously, they're going to have some ebb and flow. I don't know if boredom is too strong a word, but here they are, 57-25, their worst record in 5 years, and they are the number one seed. Do you think the gap has narrowed, or it's still Golden State head and shoulders above the field? And if somehow it's not the Warriors, I know you have the Rockets next. Is there anyone else beyond the Rockets you'd say that if it's not the Warriors, you know what? This team could win the West.
No. No, I don't have anybody, unless there is an injury to Golden State, that I think, other than Houston, would have a chance. Now, I do think the teams in the Eastern Conference, whoever comes out of the Eastern Conference, I think has a legitimate chance. So I think, you know, it's Houston and whoever comes out of the East that stands between Golden State and a three-peat.
Let's touch upon the East for a minute or two, Jeff. Boston, a lot of drama this season, but we know what the talent and Brad Stevens bring to the table. Indiana hung in pretty darn well, minus Oladipo, but you'd think Boston's the favorite there. And the one series that you're saying, wow, that's close to a coin flip. If there's to be a shocker somehow in the East, Milwaukee, Detroit, Toronto, Orlando, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, I have a hard time even conjuring one other than if Embiid's knee is messed up. But if a miracle, so to speak, is to happen in the first round, where might you toss a dart?
Well, I like you, I see no possibility of any of the top four seeds losing. But if you made me pick, I would say Indiana over Boston. Only because Indiana has toughness, they have defense, and if they were able to win both home, you know, get a split in Boston, which I can't fathom, and then, you know, figure out how to win the home games. I do believe they would have the best chance, but I really give it very minuscule opportunity for it to happen. And the other three, I think, have sweeps, five-game series written all over them.
Yeah, I'd agree there. So at the top, is Milwaukee the best team? You think that is an even Steven? Toronto Raptors finished two games behind, but they rested Kawhi Leonard 20 games. So that may explain that difference.
Well, I think right now Milwaukee's really plagued with injuries. Brogdon's out for a while. Ilyasova may be back or may not be back to start the first round. I think Toronto has more talent, but I think the combination of offense and defense in Milwaukee, I mean, they're in the top five in both categories, gives them a unique profile going into these playoffs. And I think Giannis is so good and so dominant and so versatile that he's poised to have a great run. But I would not be surprised if Toronto came out of the East, Milwaukee or Boston. I don't see it as much with Philly. But I think any of those other three top-seeded teams have a great opportunity.
Taking it back to Rockets-Jazz, how do you assess where the Rockets are now, the 11-14 start, then the turnover and much-improved depth Daryl Morey was able to recultivate within the season? This team now starting this postseason relative to last season's 65-win team heading into the postseason?
Well, I think last year they just had a special, special regular season. And then they were 24 minutes away from a championship in both Game 6 and Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. And unfortunately, being up double digits at half in both games, they just couldn't finish it out. So I think last year's team was a dominant team that was oh so close to being a championship team. This year, I don't think they're as good, but I don't think Golden State is either. And so hopefully they'll have better health when they meet, or if they meet in the second round. And if they do, I think the Rockets play in such a manner that is hard for the Warriors. I think the Warriors still would be the favorite, but I think Houston has a chance.
Jeff, James Harden is at the apex of brilliance and all-timer offensive season. So I'm going to presume that he's going to exercise some of his playoff demons and play very well through whatever the playoff run for the Rockets is. Chris Paul turns 34 in a couple of weeks. Level of play did dip some this season, though still a maestro on court and wholly capable. What do you think his level of play needs to be overall if the Rockets are to beat Golden State, win the whole thing, wherever they're to wind up?
I think it has to be good in round one. I think it has to be great if they're to meet the Warriors in the second round. I think if they get past the Warriors, it would only have to be good in the conference finals. And then in the finals, he'd have to be great again. So I think he has to be great in two of the four series for them to win a championship.
All right, MVP vote. The horse I have been riding consistently is here. Anyone who says it's Harden, it's only Harden, that's just silliness. It's underappreciating the Greek Freak, just as anyone up in Milwaukee saying, of course it's the Greek Freak, 60 wins, look at his numbers. That's underappreciating Harden. So in a can't-go-wrong vote, which way would you vote?
I'd vote Harden just because of his dominance when the Rockets were down and seemingly out because of injury. But like you said, I could also flip it around and make a great case for Giannis because his impact at both ends of the floor has truly been remarkable. And it's one of those seasons, regular seasons, much like the Rockets had last year, magical run by Milwaukee in this regular season.
First team All-NBA backcourt's easy, Harden and Curry. One forward is Giannis. Who's the other first team forward? Paul George, Kevin Durant? Kawhi's been brilliant, but the games missed might cost him, then again might not. And then at center, Jokic or Embiid, presuming they'd be your two finalists?
Well, I'd pick Jokic because of games played. And then, you know, Leonard, to me, I'm not sure I would put him on any of the three teams because of how many games he missed. Same with James. So I wouldn't, like Paul George, I'd probably vote first team. But having Kevin Durant on the second team seems silly as well. You know what I mean? It just seems silly. So I don't think you can go wrong there with a vote. I'm big on durability. I don't know if there should be. Everybody has to have in their mind how big a factor durability is. And for me, it's huge. It's so much easier to play well when you're not playing the taxing schedule that everybody else is. So I put a lot into the durability, and that's why, because of how many games Leonard chose to rest, I can't put him on an All-NBA team.
Now, would you rather have a guy who hits 320 over 100 games or someone who bats 305 playing 150 games?
Right, and again, that doesn't mean I'm right in that. That's just how I feel. I think particularly durability now when we're turning into a rest league versus a work league, one of the reasons why, to me, it's so hard to play well in our league is because of the 82-game grind, and now we're trying to take something that's supposed to be hard and making it easy. And I don't like the direction that our league has chosen to take. And thus, I choose to reward, if I had a vote, I would choose to reward those guys who played when they were healthy.
Man, it used to be a 70 games played minimum to even be eligible for the scoring title and statistical leadership, but they've had to back off of that because, yeah, while you can't stop progress, sometimes you sure wish there was a pause button. Hey, a couple other things before I let you go, Jeff.
But hold on. I just have to argue. This is not progress.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I turned a lousy phrase on that, Jeff. Thanks for calling me out on it. What'd you make of the way Magic quit?
Well, I don't begrudge him like from seeking personal happiness. If he truly didn't tell his boss first and he announced it publicly, I think that's bad for him.
All right. And the other thing, it's been a while since we've caught up. Last game of the qualifier. I know you'd already clinched your spot, but in the moment, your last game coaching Team USA, qualifying us for the World Cup, the kid hits the buzzer beater to beat Argentina. In the moment, as thrilling as taking the Knicks to the 99 finals or whatever would be your other, these were the greatest moments of my basketball career, in the moment?
Well, I think in the respect that, like you said, we had already qualified, as had Argentina. Both teams went at it so hard and played so well in that game. It was a joy to watch these guys compete. And so for me, watching a G League player like Reggie Hearn
who has basically carried us in the World Cup qualifying. He played the most games, and he was our most productive player over the entire course of the 18-month qualification process. It was a thrill to watch him hit that shot and experience that joy with his mother in the stands, you know, crying and just, you know, doing it with the USA across his chest. It was so thrilling. I was so happy for him.
Astros final regular season win total this season?
101.
101. Well, it worked out very well in 2017 when that was the number. Jeff, as always, appreciate the time, the insight. Obviously, we'll be following it all throughout the playoffs and hope to catch up again at some point later in the postseason. Thank you.
You got it, Charlie. Take care.
Jeff Van Gundy.